Hey guys, welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. I'm your host, Alexa Curtis, and I hope you guys loved episode 60. I know this is episode 62 now, but I really thought that episode 60 for me was a really kind of important episode that really showed, I think, a lot of growth and talked a lot about something that I think is so important for young people, which is to travel and travel alone. If that means you have to get a credit card with a small limit on it, or you have to just treat yourself for one weekend, or even rent a car, or even fly Spirit, I don't even care. You just got to do it to get out of your comfort zone. This week, I've got a special guest on that a lot of people who I've had on Fearless Every Day specifically have told me to get on. And right now, Fearless Every Day is booked up and through April. So I figured I'd have her on This Is Life Unfiltered first before I have her on the Disney show. If you don't know who she is, her name's, I'm totally going to screw up her last name, but I'm reading it right now. Jade Dharmawangsa. I think I did it right. She's 17 and looks like she's literally 25. But somebody who I had on Fearless Every Day, whose name is Brennan, he's the kid who had the really fantastic socks, told me to get Jade on the podcast. And if you haven't seen her, she's been in Forbes. She has a massive social media following. And she really inspires me, which is very rare because sometimes I don't really feel inspired when I'm on Instagram, to really get out of my comfort zone and to continue to follow my passion. So thanks, Jade, for stopping by.
Oh my gosh, thanks, Alexa, for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, I want to know how you started this and got into this industry, because you are really young for the amount of success that you have. So take me back to the beginning.
This is really interesting because I did some stalking, Alexa, and I feel like I relate to a lot. Like, I'm 17 years old right now, but I moved out to LA when I was like 16. Same thing with Alexa. So, like, I remember, you know, like, people see this snapshot of, like, oh my gosh, she just grew on YouTube. Like, you know, like, she just hit, like, you know, 100,000 subscribers. Like, that's in 1 year. But really, there was a lot of, like, progression when I was starting 9 years old. So, people know me actually for making doll videos. I know that's super weird, but I was like, you know, the action figures. Mm-hmm. I used to be a beauty guru. So, I really started being just like a content creator on YouTube. And then from there, I realized like there was no really centralized place to learn and educate yourself about social media. And similar to you, like there was like no place to, like, you know, get that content other than like business schools. So that's where I decided to create my channel currently, teaching social media growth.
So you had an article or a video that came out in Forbes, right? That was like a day in the life of a CEO. Which is super cool, because that's very rare for people who are your age to obviously be on Forbes, but also right now I feel like that term CEO is thrown around often.
I have to pop in here. This is the tea. There's some tea with that video.
Okay.
So that video is actually a parody.
Oh my God, was it really?
And then Forbes found it. And I don't know if it's her name, but she's like the coordinator at Forbes. She's like, wait, I thought we made this video. So, like, they literally one time, like, they promoted it because they searched for Relentless. I beat their searches of their series. So it was a parody. They found it. And, like, Forbes loves it. They're like, this is kind of funny. I was never even on it. So I literally finessed my way.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's so crazy. That's kind of like the Justin Bieber thing with the burrito. Yes, theory.
I am just
Bieber. Wow. Okay. So you grew up in what city?
I was born in Los Angeles.
So you grew up here, and then your parents are in...
Okay, so I grew up in Los Angeles, but in 2008, there was, like, a whole economic crisis. So we moved to Texas.
Okay.
And then we moved to Portland, Oregon.
And how was that transition for you? I mean, you're really outgoing and confident, but throughout school, I assume you went to a regular high school.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Like, if anyone switched schools, like, it's just the friends that get really, like, thrown apart. Like, for example... never really had a squad. I just didn't have a squad, which made me actually more helpful in later on, because when you don't have a squad or friend group, you're able to make more like risky decisions. Like moving out alone isn't necessarily like doable if you have a really tight friend group. So I'm kind of glad I didn't have that exact group.
So were you good at school? Were you like in the popular crowd?
Yeah, honestly, I was in ASB. Do you know ASB?
No.
Do you know, like, the student body, like, the presidents?
Okay.
Stuff? I was, like, that person. Like, I loved leadership.
Okay.
Like, I was really involved.
And, like, what kind of topics? I'm trying to get an idea of you from there to now, right? So, like, what topics or whatever they – like, I didn't even go to college. I'm, like, I forget what high school was like.
Did you finish high school?
Classes. I did. I finished online. So, technically, like, no, because it was so easy. But, I mean, what classes were your favorite? At what point did you start getting so involved in content and figuring out that, like, that was the path you wanted to follow? Because I assume you're not going to go to college.
Yeah, I dropped out of high school.
You did?
Yeah, last year, bro. It was crazy. It's actually exactly a year ago. So, my – If it wasn't for YouTube, I would just probably be a film student. My parents did not like that. They're like traditional Asian household. So, I mean, they were just like, you should do something in like, you know, like calculations or something. But I think they're supportive after they saw like me doing YouTube for literally 8 years. So I would probably say film would be my best, which is weird because like I'm in front of the camera, but I love behind the scenes.
Yeah. So if you started then when you were 9,
yeah.
At what point did you realize that you could make this into a career or that YouTube would become what it was? Because when you started, you probably, it wasn't how it was now, right? Where these kids are getting viral famous overnight.
Okay, YouTube in 2010 is a whole different landscape. Like, it's, first of all, freaking hard to, like, blow up on YouTube right now. So back then, it was really easy. So this is what happened. Like, I made these doll videos, and one of them hit, like, 50,000 views. And, you know, in my head, like, a 9-year-old kid doesn't know how to monetize that, essentially. But what I was doing was, like, there's, like, a couple people watching me. What if I, like, sold my toys? So from there, I made, like, a, kind of like an eBay store. So I really decided that I could make money right around I was, like, 10 or 11, which is, I know, extremely young. But I didn't realize what I was doing was monetizing my audience. I just thought I could just sell my dolls.
So this is a little bit kind of like how Bethany Mata started.
Yeah. I love her. Do you watch her?
I've watched her, but she hasn't really done a lot of stuff. I think that do you know what happened with the Hawaii thing?
What?
Yeah, she had gone to Hawaii and this brand paid her a ton of money and then ended up, she like didn't follow through on stuff. And then I know there was like a whole press situation. It was like 6-7 months ago. Yeah, because I guess her dad was involved. It was really bad. But now I haven't heard much about her. But yeah, I mean, it kind of seems a little bit similar in the sense that like you realize, or there's a few other like really successful YouTubers have kind of followed in that path of like starting with something and then realizing you could kind of proceed with that.
Did you grow up watching Michelle Phan?
The other girl I know, Tiffany Zong.
Oh, really?
Do you know who that is? She posted with her the other day.
Icon.
But yeah, I never really have watched her. I know like Bethany's stuff, but I haven't really watched her. But I know that she also, didn't she come out with something and was like really depressed? Wasn't it her?
Yeah, a lot of these YouTubers like in the 2010s don't survive now because it's, they got burned out. So, yeah, I basically throw my YouTube, I know my YouTube career technically started at 9 years old, but I run this off and on. So consistently, it's been a year.
I want to know what it takes to like become successful with YouTube, because I'm so not a YouTuber, but for like people who follow you or are fans of you, I mean, is there a kind of a math solution to how to become successful on YouTube or no?
Math, I don't know if the right word is math. It's more like science is like when you, math is super formulaic. I don't know, the algorithm on YouTube is pretty like XYZ, but I think it's more like science where you add like a portion of this, you add something like this, and maybe you'll come up with like a chemical. Actually, I dropped out of school. What am I talking about?
Okay, same.
So kind basically, of. I mean, my thing is like, it's a combination of how long can you retain someone's attention? Like, essentially just watch time. Like, how long? Like, 10 minutes? Have you seen, like, an hour documentary? Like, Shane Dawson is, study him. He's really good at making people watch the entire thing. And the second combination, I know people puke when they hear this, but it's, like, timing. It's essentially, is luck, and it's essentially, like, even if you have people watching for a long time, when it's the right time or when something's trendy, then you'll pop. And I think those two, like, mixtures will create the best way to blow up. But it's still not like XYZ all the time.
I have to say, I also feel like because you've been doing it for so long, the way that your mind would kind of think about it is it's hard right now to think like you could just post a video and blow up because you've been doing this for so long. So like obviously you've put so much time and energy into it. So I feel like trying to like even think about blowing up, you have to do something because you love it. You obviously really are passionate about this.
I just started YouTube. Well, 9-year-old Jay didn't comprehend that this was about clout.
Yeah.
It was for fun. Like, when you started your blog, was it for...
Oh, my God. I was 12. I mean, you can't... Right. Mentally, before 17, yeah. You're not... Like, you're like, how much money can I get on my parents to, like, buy clothing or whatever?
No,
you're not thinking about money.
No. It's not even, like... Oh, no, I know. Actually, now a lot of people that do YouTube that are, like, our age do it to get free stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't want to do that for that reason.
No. And I think, also, you don't want to become, like, famous for that reason or for... You could easily, like... date some famous dude or like anyone in LA and like that'll get you fame, but like then it's also you don't want to jump on somebody else's name. You want to make your own name.
Also, like when you do that, those people that follow you aren't really there for
you.
So what's the point? Speaking of which, there's a ton of people in LA that do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's why people come to LA, because do you agree that like it's now considered to become an entrepreneur, like create content creator, whatever, it's like everyone just wants the easy way out. They want like the money and the fame so quick.
It's why I puke at the idea of like CEO and the link in the bio or something, because I've done that before, but I know how easy it is just to put yourself a title. I don't know. It's really fake, but I mean, okay, I was just talking about this. Like, yes, LA's pretty fake, but have you found like your own squad? Like, I found like a group of people that are really real. It's kind of small.
Yeah.
Have you found it?
It took me a year. I was like pretty depressed for the first year. I couldn't for a year. Like it was so difficult living here of all cities. I mean, you're so young, so you haven't really, I mean, I guess you've lived in like a few other cities, but not really alone. But like I've lived in three cities now completely alone, and this is the hardest one to make friends. So now,
really?
Yeah, I found it because it's so fake and everyone like.
It's easier in New York.
I would say it's easier in New York because I also like, I'm from the East Coast, so I had more connections there, but even more so that here, it's just like people are not forward with you, right? So somebody, everyone wants to just use somebody else to get ahead of yourself. And it's kind of like frustrating. So then it's like, I don't want to be friends with those kind of people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so weird because like, yes, like collaborating is good, like in business. But everything's so transactional. Like the minute you try to be like, let's just grab coffee, they're like, nope.
Yeah, that's I've realized that. It's the minute that you're like, do you want to go to an event or this? And it's like, yeah, yeah, like I'll go, whatever. And then you're like, do you want to like get dinner or coffee? And it's like, no reply. And I'm like, you probably have the same thing. Like I'll ask people who I know who have like millions of followers that. And I'm like, okay, so like, are you now using me because you don't ever want to get coffee? But like, if I invite you to something, you'll come. I don't know. I think it's weird. You never know. But besides that, so I'm really curious. So you dropped out of high school. At what time? How long ago?
Exactly a year, like January 2017.
And what high school were you going to?
I went to a high school in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Mountain View High School. It was...
Was it public?
Yeah, it was public.
Okay.
Did you go to public school?
Yeah, I went to... Oh my God, I had no money. My parents are really poor.
Really? Oh, yes. No, so like my parents... Well,
they're not poor, but like they don't have money.
Like they weren't... I never was someone that had like... If I wanted a camera, like I had to work for it. Like, my parents, I don't have a trust fund or anything, which is a lot of entrepreneurs in LA, like...
Oh, yeah. Thank God somebody, I'm, like, obsessed with you already. The fact that you're so openly saying that, because people, like, won't openly say it. I'm like, everyone has a trust fund here. How do you think these people are, like, starving artists? They have trust funds.
Here's the real tea. The person you watch on YouTube probably doesn't make money through their brand because they have a lot of capital from the mom and dad.
Yeah, no, it's literally just, that's what I learned here is it's just science. Yeah. Like here that's the science. You have a trust fund or you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's no.
Just the fact that, you know, going back to my thing, it was frustrating because I looked up to those people copying everything I did. I'm like, why don't I get the same results? Like I wasn't blowing up on YouTube immediately. And I was like, like they have access to all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when people, I think, I don't know if you agree with this, but when people especially look up to like, I have friends from Connecticut, they're obsessed with Kylie Jenner. They'll buy all of her products. Like she's such a mogul. And I'm like, at the end, it's science behind this. Her mom, like she was in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get so frustrated because it's like, there's really people who have actually made it on their own. But when you have that kind of connection, you don't. So at what point did you decide you wanted to drop out of high school? Because a lot of entrepreneurs drop out of college, but high school is quite rare.
Do you know any other people that dropped out of high school?
Honestly, I would say no. College either skipped it or dropped out, but high school... I don't know.
Okay, I only know one other person.
I mean, you got to be making some, like, money or have, like, I don't even know.
Okay, so I'm psycho. Like, I'm probably insane. So basically, I dropped out of high school. Keep in mind, the context of the situation is a little bit extreme. So it was last year, 2018, so 2 years ago. I only had 1,000 subscribers. I only had, that's not a lot, but like, you know, in grand scheme of things, you have to be able to sustain yourself because when you drop out, you kind of let go of any other career path essentially. So $1,000, and get this, I only had $1,000 in my bank account. This was probably a stupid move. Don't do this if I were you again. But what I realized was I didn't really base my success off the money I had in my bank. What I was doing was I dropped out because I realized that every one of my friends who had a career path, like I had hung out a lot with seniors. So like technically, because I couldn't relate to people like my age. So like I realized that people with already degrees going to college, they couldn't even get an entry level job. And I woke up like really abruptly because I saw on YouTube other people like, you know, struggling with the same thing. I was like, in this economy right now, there's really no XYZ, you know, like, career pathway. And this might scare people who want to go to college, and that's totally cool. It's just for this specific career path of marketing and social media, there's no guarantee. So I really dropped out, not basing my success on like what I had, but just the way the economy was moving, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ever base anything off of money. But I mean, you obviously, your parents had to be supportive in some way of you dropping out.
Oh, yeah. It was weird. Like, my parents were like, oh, you're dropping out? Huh. Maybe you should get your degree and then, like, leave. I never really got my degree. I just left. Like, when people say, like, how did you drop out? I just, like, slowly stopped showing up. And then suddenly my counselor was like, where are you, Jade? And I was like, I'm not coming anymore. But they were all supportive. I don't know. This is really rare, but my parents are supportive, and so are my counselors. I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that, like, I feel like they already knew I was going to drop out, because, like, I never really – I was at school, but I was never really – at school.
I didn't think it was even legal for people to drop out of high school.
Oh, dude, I was on a lawsuit because my school was like, I was the first person to drop out, and they were like, this is illegal. I'm like, if you're 16, you can drop out. Yeah.
I thought you had to be 18.
At least in Washington, it's 16.
Yeah. I don't know. That's crazy, because I didn't think that you could just drop out of school. I mean, but I doubt that's like your piece of advice for kids who like watch you is like drop out of.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. If you want to be a doctor, law, please go to school. Like, you know, you don't want to operate without education.
Yeah.
I get education. I still go to school. I take a lot of online courses. I take a lot of, mentorship. So I actually educate myself even more in school.
Yeah.
Just different topics.
No, I think that's really important, especially the thing with entrepreneurship that, I mean, realistically, a lot of young people don't know what they want to do at the age that you knew. So that's where college or like definitely high school comes into play. So it's very rare for somebody your age to know what they want to do, which is fantastic. So what is kind of your end goal? I mean, what better question? I want to know what you like spend every day doing, because the word content creator now is so unique, but it's everyone's like a content creator. So, but you're actually successful at it. A lot of people, not that people are unsuccessful, but you know, a lot of people are putting all of their, you know, hours and hours into making a YouTube video, and it's like, that's their main goal. But I feel like that's not really what it comes down to.
Yeah, so not a lot of people know this because, I don't know, I just, I never talk about it. So this is, like, the first time I'm, like, really opening up. My vision is in education. So I'm super passionate. Weirdly enough, I dropped out of school, but I love education. So we're actually building an app, and for me, it's beyond a course or, like, you know, a lesson. I want to build the educational system online. So essentially, instead of going to school and you do homework at home, I want people to watch videos and go to like class where they collaborate with people. So right now we're building an educational platform. That's like the main thing every day, to be honest. It's like typically like I go check. I love working out every day. We were just talking about this, but like we spend so much time on the screen. So honestly, when I'm not working, I work out. And then when I'm working, it's typically like meeting up my interns, my developers, and then making videos, like vlogging. I love just like combining my work and YouTube into one, but it's really hard to balance at once, but yeah.
So on social media, what do you find is the kind of greatest response you get from somebody? Like when you're posting what type of content? And also on top of that, for somebody who wants to be the next Jade, what type of content and how should they figure out what type of content to be posting?
Whoa.
And does it even really matter in a sense? Like, I feel like there's so much attention that goes into, like, what do you post on Instagram, but does it actually matter?
It's interesting. First, never, ever base your success on someone else. Like, if you want to be the next – because I used to be want to be the next Gary Vaynerchuk. Cause I don't know. Do you know Gary?
Of course, yeah.
Of course. And never, ever be anything other than the next yourself, right? I know that's super cheesy, but, you know, if you ever want to model yourself after someone – I recommend just to figure out on like really vision yourself. And the second thing is like the best content, honestly, is not about being like, you know, like, I don't know, like a Musical.ly video and like a caption, or like, it's not necessarily like the topic. If it's an outfit of the day, that's cool. The success on Instagram for me is like, how do you make people feel? Because truly, like, you can make people can laugh, and that's value. And people can also read a caption like, wow, that means a lot. So I truly think Instagram right now, since people scroll so fast, it's about how can you make people feel something. That's the best content. And I don't really know what that is, honestly. Sometimes I make, like, memes. People make, like, laugh. Sometimes I make, like, heartfelt comments, you know, comments about my life. So I think it's a mixture of emotion.
How do you think social media has changed since you started? Do you think it's gone in a positive direction, a little bit more of a negative direction? Because so many kids have depression and anxiety from social media.
I think people blame the platform when it's just really the content you're consuming.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think it's really easy. Like, I've realized I even mute, like, honestly, some of my friends, like, who post.
Really?
I have friends who just post slutty pics, and, like, I'll mute them. Like, they don't know. But I think that when I realized how easy it was to, like, remove somebody from your feed, why would you? But, I mean, regardless, like, social media creates a platform where you are just going to judge yourself based on other people, and it's hard to not want to follow them.
It's honestly what you're following, right? Like, you can't blame Instagram. You have to blame your own feed.
Yeah.
Because, okay, like, for example, on the Explore page, there's always, like, some skinny LA girl with her juice, and I'm like, shoot.
With her celery juice, which Jade walked in with celery juice, so.
Yeah, we're trying to become one, but I used to, like, you know, see that on my Explore page, but then did you know you can actually, like, hold down on the photo and, like, say, do not show any more of these types of photos, and it's gone.
Oh, I didn't know that. On Instagram?
On Instagram.
Oh, wow. See, between that and muting, it's, like, it's not that difficult
it's
to.
Not.
But I guess it's also sometimes you want to look like stay in the trends. I mean, you could just follow animals from National Geographic, but then also you're not going to know like what's going on with people or celebrities or like.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, again, going back to that, you're not going to ever blame the platform anymore. So I don't think social media is like causing depression. I think the content you consume, it's like, yeah, it's like what you're consuming will hurt you.
But do you think it's also changed since you started? Yeah. I mean, what was Instagram was around when you started?
Yeah, it was. I had my account for a long time. I think what's happening right now is what used to work doesn't work. Like, for example, you can get really popular off, you know, half-naked butt selfies. You can still get popular off that, but there's a lot of half-naked butt selfies. So I think there's just a lot of competition. That's all. It just got a lot noisier. So in order to stand out, you just have to be good. That's it. So, I don't know, or luck, you know, or I can't even disregard. There's a lot of luck that's involved. So, I think before on social, it was less competitive. Hello. You're fine. We're good. All right. Yeah, it was less competitive.
So, if somebody wants to start a YouTube page tomorrow and wants to be, like, a content creator or start whatever page, and I guess they're maybe intimidated by the idea of it because they're like, I'm not going to be successful. What's your advice for those people? Because that's what holds everyone back nowadays is the fear of not being successful or rejection.
Ooh, this is a good question. If your fear is not to be successful, this sounds really weird, but try to have an even bigger fear of not taking an opportunity. When your fear is, when you're, the fear of like not taking a chance is bigger than just like failing, you're gonna move. So I feel like it's weird because here's the thing. I don't know if you have you been to a therapist before?
I'm like drinking coffee. Like I had a therapy session at 12.
Oh, really?
Of course, I go to therapy every week.
Really?
But I do it on my phone, so I talk to her on FaceTime.
Really? How is it?
Yeah. I've been going to therapy for years. Like it changed my life. I mean, it's not cheap and I don't have insurance, but like it's for me, it's something that I have to do.
Do you have a mentor?
I don't. I've so never had like a mentor.
Oh.
So I'm curious to your feedback on that.
I was looking at therapy. We're all a bit unemotionally stable. My dad's like he does a lot of you know entrepreneurship in his life. So I look up to him and he's kind of like my mentor slash therapist slash chiropractor. He really fixes my back. Anyways, so I was blessed to have that, but I know a lot of, like, are you close to your parents?
Yeah, but they're not entrepreneurs
yeah.
or anything.
It's
they
hard,
don't understand my life.
But yeah, this is something my dad told me. Like, he said like he is more scared of regret than like failing. I'm like, whoa, you're right. Because the reason why I dropped out was not because I was probably scared of losing money, but that's not my biggest fear. My biggest fear was not living up to what I said I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just like, there's a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving Enough.
Yeah, I've never read it, but I know of that book.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It basically says, like, give a frick about something more important. Like, stop giving a shit about things that are not, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, really prioritize what you give a shit about.
Yeah, I agree because I think that, especially with social media, that it's so easy to put so much time into an Instagram picture or a video. And then, I don't know, do you ever have moments, I mean, this is your job too. I mean, I'm not a YouTuber, but it's similar where you just are like, what is even the point of this? Like, there's something so much bigger than just like this one video or this one picture. It goes so much deeper than that kind of superficial stuff.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just narcissistic. Oh, wait. I'm an only child. So I know this is weird to say, but it does come a lot from your childhood. So I grew up loving attention. So personally for me, the way I grew up was like, everyone loves Jade because Jade's important. Yes, it killed, like, sometimes I get backstabbed from that mentality, but I don't, this is weird and personal. I think it's because of the way I grew up. I don't really have a fear of, like, people not caring. I have a fear of people not giving value from, like, it's a different tense, for me, I think about a different thing. So, for example, I get scared when I post, but it's different. Like, I don't care about how many likes I get. I just care about, like, oh, is this, like, actually, like, living up to what I want to say? Because, like, sometimes I try to make posts that don't really reflect who I am. Like, I look really pretentious on Instagram. Like, I look put together.
You had a post where you did a story that said, like, I looked really pretentious in that or something, which I thought was really funny.
Because I'm like, dude, I do not look like this in real life. And then I look at my feed. I'm like, this is too perfect. How do I really, you know, truly communicate authenticity? I'm still working on it.
Well, it's so difficult because nobody wants, like, why would anyone want to post a picture and be like, I mean, then I also think now that there's a sense of that, which I don't know if you agree with, but it's like it's glamorized, right? So if you have a blogger who like posts all this stuff and then she posts like the one angle where she looks like a little bit chubby. And then she's like, today I woke up feeling depressed. And I'm like, okay, at what point here is that like a trend?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like people do use it.
Yeah.
That's true. It's trying to be relatable.
I think so. And I think that's why it's like, I'll hold back from posting stuff that's like that or like a body picture. Because I'm like, everyone's like, that's not.
That's true. Self-deprecating content, especially with relatable teens, not to call anyone out, is like forceful. You can tell it's being staged because of the works.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know who Iskra Lawrence is? You would have seen her, the American Eagle girl. She got really famous because she was like all the ads.
Yeah.
And she was like the start of that. But she really started before everyone started posting that.
Yeah.
But now everyone wants to be the Iskra with like showing the stretch marks and the curves and like everything. And like, that's great.
That's
but like,
incredible.
That was like, I mean, she's like the 1%. So I don't know. It's kind of like, how do you find your own role model when everyone's posting that kind of stuff?
That's really interesting. I think that's so true, though. Because, for example, like when people use a guilt card, it's essentially just the guilt card. Like, I want you to feel bad for me. Going back to emotion on Instagram. I think the real thing is like, you can only do that for so long. So it's really, truly, if you want to see who to trust, all you want to do is see how many years they've been doing it for. You can only guilt trip people for like so long. I feel like I genuinely believe the people that are making content and sticking by what they mean and not making content that's self-deprecating just to be relatable can do it for a long time. Because it comes from a good place of heart.
But then I also feel like in another sense, you can't say that necessarily somebody is like posting something then for attention. Or can you nowadays say that like if anyone's posting anything, it's for attention?
Well, like why are you posting? Of course it's attention.
I guess. But I mean specifically like the body image kind of models. Because I know that's content you don't post. Not that you have like curves or stretch marks to gloat about. But
I'm so sad. By the way, I like hate posting pictures of my body. Like I'm at the gym sometimes. I'm like, I don't know why. I like have weird, I actually struggle with body image. So I like consuming that content. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, everyone struggles with body image. Yeah. I think it'd be very difficult to be like,
I'm perfect.
I love, it's not even perfect, but like, oh, I love that fat on my stomach. Or like, I love, like, it's just, we're not humanly made to love ourselves. Like, there's some weird genetic trait. That's why we have therapy. You're right. Because it's not practical to say that you're going to love every single part of your body.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm just having terms with yourself, like, I just accept where I am. But yeah, I think on social, it's really interesting because with those, like, this word is so gross, influencers.
Why do you say it's gross?
Because anyone can be an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily the title. It's like, I just posted on my Instagram story, there's a difference between people who are influencers versus people who influence people.
Mm-hmm.
I think influencers have that title for their own ego and their own self-image, and influencers generally care about the person that they're trying to talk to. So with that being said, I think it's all about intention, right? Like, I think you can tell. Like, can you tell when someone's being, like, when someone's posting, and you just know if it's, like, you just have that feeling that you're, like, like, let me see how they're reflecting this in their day-to-day. So I feel like I was at this meetup, and I was like, who are your favorite YouTubers? And I'm not going to say who, because, you know, but I asked these girls, it's like, who's your favorite YouTuber? And I was like, do you like this one? And they're like, no, like, I can tell she's trying to be fake. I was like, what? Like, she's the hottest YouTuber. How can you tell? I don't know. I feel like people can just tell based on, you know, how people like LA Change do. It's like that. Like, you can tell over time.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it's not even time as much now, but like people's intuitions, because everyone, even if you're not an influencer, but you're somebody who watches influencers, knows that everything is so fake. It's just – so much in the news about like influencers and like even what happened with Fyre Festival. Did you watch the documentary?
No, tell me.
The one, you know, the guy who a bunch of YouTubers were in it, who he had the music festival in the Bahamas, and they just came out with two. Oh my God, Jade, you've got to know what this
educate
is.
Me.
Oh, come on. So it's Billy McFarlane, and they just released one on Netflix and one on Hulu, two documentaries, and it was like the next Coachella. You'd know about this.
I don't have Netflix.
No, but it was, do you have Hulu? I'm going to give you a free code. You've got to watch this documentary. No, but anywho, so it really showed the power of social media. This one guy had paid Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, Kendall, all these girls, and flew them out to the Bahamas, really? Like $250,000. We're going to have another conversation after you watch this documentary. And basically, the festival ended up being completely like fraudulent.
Really?
It wasn't even like a real like thing. But he got so much money from all of the people because he used that group of famous girls with a combined following to promote it. So it just showed the power of social media.
What was this?
This is like really recent. I'm going to look this up on my phone, you guys. I'm going to like show her this right now because you would know Fyre Festival. There was like a bunch of, okay. Like it was all
recent.
Super recent. It's like the biggest documentary that just came out. The one picture that went viral was the picture with the guy with like the cheese sandwich and he had posted it. You'd know.
Oh, I've seen this before.
You had to have seen this.
This is so interesting.
But these two documentaries just came out to like expose what had happened. And this guy, now I used to know him when I was in New York, just went to jail for like 6 years. But anywho, the whole documentary revolved around the power of social media.
I'm going to watch it.
And how, yeah, and how you choose, you can text it to yourself too, like how you choose which influencer to follow or which one has,
really?
Which one has the power. But I guess that goes back to what your message was, is that it's really easy to tailor your feed to be kind of appropriate or the right kind of content you want to see.
I think the true success, and I'm still figuring it out along the way, which is weird because I know it's like meta as a teacher, but what I've learned is to truly communicate your personality authentically online is so hard because here's the tea. In order to do so, you have to be able to properly communicate your own authenticity without even social media, like even day to day. And sometimes we all like, this is unfiltered, right? Life unfiltered, Alexa Curtis. But like, we filter ourselves so much that like, why would you even do that on social media when you can't even do it day to day? So I don't know. I feel like the first step in truly making real content is being real with it, like, they're like without even social, just in real life.
Who do you follow on your social feeds? I'm curious who you fill your feeds with.
We're going to get the content Jade consumes. It's going to be so gross and embarrassing. It's like life hacks and like billionaire success.
So that's who you would say then for these young kids to be following, along with yourself, obviously.
Yeah, honestly, like literally.
But that's the explore page.
Like, oh yeah, okay. Let's see. Oh, Amanda Steele. We're scrolling right now. I like fitness. That's okay. Nice to know.
Okay, you guys, Jade has 14 DMs. That gives me anxiety that there's like so many red things there.
Oh no, it gets worse.
Oh my God.
Okay, why is Jade Alvarez here? I have this girl who like beat cancer. She's super bad, like badass and amazing. So like, honestly, I think it's not even necessarily the topics, it's a person. Like, I love following people that are like, I don't necessarily need to follow a Gary Vee, but if you do want to follow any accounts that make you happy, and just like self-love, my favorite one right now is actually, I love a girl. Her name's Fit with Cambry. She does like fitness, but like more mental health.
That's so funny. So low key, I had invited Cambry to the conference and we like had booked her ticket out and then she just canceled.
I have a crush on Cambry.
Really? Why? Cambry is like the worst texter in the entire world. Cambry's never going to listen to this. I highly doubt it. Yeah, but she like doesn't. She's maybe like the worst person to text.
I could tell.
But that's so funny you said that. Yeah, I really liked her page. And then I realized that, like, the conference that I'm planning, they didn't really want her involved after
Why?
She backed out because they didn't really think that she was
a fit
for the content that they wanted, which
really?
I guess just because, in a sense, like, I mean, I think her stuff's awesome, but she really is, like, that enviable kind of, you know, her posts
right.
and stuff.
Yeah,
it's I don't find it super relatable, but obviously she has such an engaged following, so I was like, she'd be a good fit.
I like sitting here following because it's crazy. Her family is just kind of really insane. Like, really, like for example, not to put any tea. This is maybe we should cut this out. But, like, have you seen, like, the product reviews of people reviewing her products?
No, I don't know anything about her products, but I do know that she has famous family.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So that's how she obviously, like,
trust fund? Oh shoot, we're going to the real.
Yeah, we'll stop this. Jane and I will talk about this off camera. But you know, and it's nothing against that. But again, it's the same thing that comes down to the people that you had pushing you forward, or that kind of success can enable you to do different things. So I have never tried her powders or whatnot, but I know she wanted to have a booth to sell the powders. Oh, so really? I guess if there's no good, like if it wasn't good reviews.
It's like the people that review it. You should.
Were they good reviews?
It's too good. Like, oh, so biased.
Really?
I can never find a real review. These girls are, and there's nothing wrong with it. I can tell they love Cabri so much. But I'm just like, the kissing up someone's ass at that point, I'm like, I think that there should be more. I think it goes back to the influence. Like, if the influence is not authentic, the fan base won't be.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting. I've never thought of it like that. Because also it's not like if you were to write a bad review, I love writing bad reviews if I think something sucks. So like I'd be the first person to write a bad review. But I mean, maybe the product is just good.
I bought it. It's so good.
Oh, wait, is it really?
Okay. It's.
So then obviously it's going to be good reviews if you say it's good.
It was good. It was good. Here's my problem. It was the marketing was weird. Like I think, for example, have you been in like the social media course world? Like, have you seen that? Like people make courses.
The girl that just went. That girl who just got like picked apart in the media because she had these courses and then couldn't live up to them.
Yeah, I just think it's like the course is good. It's just the marketing's misleading. Like it's gonna say you're gonna have a Lamborghini tomorrow. That's where I have a problem. Like it's like if you buy this thing, you're gonna have a body tomorrow. Like that's where my problem is. Uh-huh. The marketing is weird.
Yeah, I guess for her in particular, like I just don't like to fill my feed with like people who. Have like bodies that I envy because like I'm insecure about certain parts of my body, so it's not that it affects me in a way where I get like depressed about it, but it's kind of like ugh, like then you're like sitting in bed on a Saturday like stuffing your face with like chocolate and you're like scrolling through and then like here's one person like and your body's so great and you're like oh you know would I be like that if I wasn't eating this, but it's like no.
Well, like here's the thing, like with Cambridge content specifically, I don't know about everyone, I saw a segment she did about bloating. And I really liked it because she showed her body when it was perfect and amazing because she has a great body. But she also showed it when it was like, you know, like her little tummy. And I like that. I think the true, like going back to body image and like social media is like she's doing it real time. Like she's not posting it. Personally for me, I can't tell she's doing it because she wants views. She's just generally bloating right now and she's sharing it. That's what I think is really good.
No, I agree. And I saw that post too.
You saw
it? Yeah. But then it's like, because she has such a big following, if somebody else were to post that, then how would you not know that they're, you know what I'm talking about? Like that they're not doing it for views. It's just a really kind of blurry line nowadays. And it's like, at the end of the day, we don't know a lot of these people in person. Hmm. So all these people we're following.
I guess the normal consumer doesn't think about this. Like we obviously are on social media. So we're like,
And we're like, is this real? Is this fake? But like, you never know.
Yeah.
But we totally got off topic and we were talking about something before we went on to that. But like, I guess we were talking about the power of social media. I lost my train of thought.
It was fire documentary.
Yeah. So the one to watch on obviously Netflix or Hulu. But I mean, besides that, just the power of influencers. Do you think that Instagram is a platform that will be around for forever? Because I've talked with a lot of people who say that Instagram's going really like downhill. Because everybody thinks it's so fake now and people are buying followers and like buying so much content or, you know, so much to make themselves a next influencer or whatever.
I think the bad influencers are going to go and all the influencers that are good and have a true following will win. In the next 10 years, I think, I don't know if Instagram's going to be relevant. That doesn't matter. Like, you have to understand, Facebook, Instagram, they own all the data. So there might be a new app. It might be owned by Facebook, but it's still centralized. I don't know how it's going to go about, but what I think is, I think e-commerce and like, you know, when you buy something, it's no longer going to be like a website. You're going to buy it from a person. It's going to be like, you know how influencers get sponsored, right? I feel like now people have their own store. So what's going to happen is I think the person that's actually going to suffer the most aren't influencers. I think it's the brands. I think brands who sell products who can't communicate a personality or show their story will not survive. Those are the people that are going to suffer. So if you don't work with influencers, if you're a brand, that's where you're going to decrease. Because right now, people love authenticity going back. So what I think is going to happen is Instagram, personally for me, I don't know. I just know what's going to happen is the way people consume content is going to change because they're going to gravitate towards only the people that are real. So if you're buying followers now, by the way, you're going to have a problem because Instagram's deleting a lot of bots, so you're going to be screwed anyways. They're already working on it. I don't think it's going to be a problem in the future.
So when you say buying from people, do you mean like influencers who have clothing lines? Or do you mean?
I think Coca-Cola is going to like insert their product. So, for example, you go on Instagram.com/CambryShoulder, and the only way you can buy Coca-Cola is through maybe you have to go in a photo of her taking a picture of a Coca-Cola and you have to buy it.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's going to be kind of just like people are going to have their own store, essentially, not even with their own products, but even just other brands.
So isn't that a little bit like affiliate marketing then?
It's affiliate marketing, but I feel like, I don't know if this is right, but I feel like it's going to be even better where it's like, instead of there's like a website where you like, you know, Amazon affiliates, it's like your own branded thing. Like, you know, Glossier, they do a good job with the rest.
Yeah,
it's like
Glossier does really good, but it was actually so funny because Emily, who founded it, she used to be a Teen Vogue intern.
Oh, what?
So that's why I liked what you said at the beginning of this interview. If you watch old episodes of The Hills, you know The Hills? Like with Lauren Conrad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. I'm like, you have to know The Hills. Like with The Hill, like with Whitney Poor and like all that, like Adrena Patridge and Lo Bosworth. You make me feel like I'm 90 years old here, Jade.
I know.
People who are still your age watch The Hills.
Dude, I don't even watch Netflix. We're doing it over.
But you know who like Lauren Conrad is.
Yes,
yeah.
Future, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Emily was on old episodes of The Hills as like a Teen Vogue intern, which just shows you that like, but people work at this stuff for so long. It, a lot of times it doesn't happen overnight. Like she started from the bottom. Mm-hmm. I think social media just creates this like kind of gateway into like fame, but for a lot of people it's not like that. You only see them when they're successful, but you don't know what happened before that.
It's so this is an analogy I heard. I don't know where I heard this. Someone quote me on it. You're like the way you see people on social media is like when you are in like, imagine, do you know VR and stuff? Like, so, like, in VR, it basically loads based on where you look, right? So, behind you, it's loading, but only loads when you look. So, that's where I see, like, influencers. Like, you only see people's success based on where you see the snapshot of time. And you won't see the backtrack. So, I feel like it's super important before you really compare yourself, and especially with body image, like, you just look at the context. Like, this person's been working out for XYZ. They also struggle with XYZ. So, I think I used to be someone who looked up to like Bethany Moda and stuff and all these people with trust funds going back to the beginning. But I'm like, what are you really viewing? Doesn't really show the 360 picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm curious what you said about Gary Vee, because I've also talked to a lot of young people and entrepreneurs who also say that that word hustle is thrown around too much. Like if you can't hustle or you can't like work 24 hours a day that you're not going to be successful. So what's your opinion on that?
Do you have this? Okay, so there's an app called Now Then. Have you heard about it?
No.
Okay, so I'm kind of weird and I like to track my hours. So here's something you should realize. It's not about working more harder, because here's the thing. It's like this. If you got paid $1,000 to make an Instagram post, right? And you followed hustle and grind. So you work 10 hours, but in really it could be taking an hour, right? If you do the math, $1,000 divided by 10 hours, you're working $100 an hour. When really you could do $1,000 an hour just by working 1 hour. The truth of hustle and grind is to just honestly work as hard as you can so you can extend your hourly rate. Don't work as hard as you can just to work as hard as you can, right? So I put that into context. So there's an app called Now Then. I think I need to load it, but there's a time I did this. But basically, I don't know if you can see.
Kind of.
Let me find this. Basically, you're able to like log in. I'll show it to you after. Like every hour, what you do. So I've been obsessed with tracking what I actually do on my computer. Am I browsing? Am I working? Is there something I can outsource? I'm obsessed with time. Now, hustle and grind is important to me because I feel like people are kind of needing that. If you're like a maybe 19-year-old college dropout that needs that kick in the butt. But for the most of us, like who are like already stable, like that will kill you. Like self-care is so important.
It's so important.
I one time didn't sleep for 5 hours because I thought it was trendy and cool, because on my Instagram story, I'm like famous for like 5:30 a.m. But that literally killed me. I was basically, what happened was I told everyone, this is a big mistake. I told everyone I woke up at 5:30 a.m. every day, which I do. But then suddenly the day I woke up at 7 a.m., I felt so bad. So this is some tea. I literally had to reverse time on my phone to when I screenshot the 5:30 a.m. It would go backwards because it was 7 a.m. because I felt so bad because people were on my backs about it. So it just goes to show you that hustle and grind can really hurt you, because I literally wasn't happy.
That's so funny you say that, because I've had situations like that happen, or I've done the same thing, because I just not like I like waking up really early, but also like we're human beings, so like realistically it's like it's nauseating to wake up that early. It's not normal, but it's great because like there's a sense of like, oh, like I know I'm one of the only people in LA that's up, but then you sleep later and you're like, oh my God, I have the same thing, Jade, where I feel so guilty, but I don't feel guilty because of other people. I just feel guilty for myself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a sometimes also where I think when you're in this industry and when you all I guess really genuine and authentic, sometimes it's really easy, which is something I talk with my therapist about, is about kind of feeling like inauthentic sometimes if you've done something like that where like you're like, oh, I wake up every day at 5 and you wake up at 7. And then I don't know if you relate to that, but I have times where I feel like, okay, am I fraudulent now? Like, is this all a lie? And my therapist is like, no, like you just woke up late. And I'm like, okay, so why do sometimes I feel so then like anxious about that? And I think it's just putting into reality the internet and then your real life. Like you're only human.
I agree. I woke up at, it's so bad though. Like even Sundays, I can't even rest. Like I'm guilty resting. And then it's times where my dad, who's also my therapist, gave me advice. This is what the scariest thing I had to do like last month. He said, Jade, don't work for 3 days in a row. I was like, if I told you to not work, what would you say, like, for 3 days?
I've had, also, when I think about it, like, you're 17. So, like, when I was 17, I was, like, the same, and I would have, like, more anxiety. But now I realize, like, if the importance of, like, shutting off. But it took me so many fucking years to learn how to do this.
It was so hard.
It's so difficult even now. But I think also as you get older, you start, and you're an entrepreneur, you start to realize that, like, just, like, what things really matter and what you have to do, like, to just, like, keep a stable mindset. I think when you're younger, it's easier to balance. Like, not that I'm old, but like, I mean, I have a few years on
Netflix, so she's
I'm only 21, but I've been doing it for, I guess, longer. So like, I know, like now if like what 3 days off, how important it can be. Whereas a year ago,
you took vacations?
It's very difficult for
you,
but I but that was for a weekend. So like weekends, I think I don't work on weekends.
Really?
I'm very adamant about.
I'm screwed. I won't give up. Oh yeah.
See, that's the thing is I think like when I maybe like 6-8 months ago I would work weekends and then I realized like okay I can't like it.
So what do you do for free time? Like what's your spare time? Like what do you do for fun?
I mean, I work out once like every hour. Every once. Once. Oh my God, I would be a lot skinnier if I worked out every hour. I work out like one, that's my hour a day, and then like free time. I mean, on the weekends like. I don't know. Like, I'd like to do, like, stupid stuff. Like I like to go to brunch. Or, like, I like to just walk around. Oh, my God. We should so go to brunch. And we're actually going to make it happen. Not, like, other people who, like...
Tea.
You know, I go to these events and stuff. I don't know if you go to any of them, but I don't like them. I've also realized the importance of not making myself do things that I don't like. So
do you take yourself on dates sometimes? Just, like, eat by yourself?
That's what I did in Seattle. Oh. And then I ended up meeting a guy who I'm, like, in love with. Oh. Of course, this would happen to me. But, yeah, that's why I went, is I love being alone. I don't have any issues being alone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what you do then for your free time.
It's a problem where I think I consider, this is so bad, I consider my free time editing videos because I have an editor now. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I should just be like chilling on the sofa. So I try to redefine my, I honestly love eating. I think I like cooking. I like cooking.
I love cooking.
Do you have HelloFresh or what do you do?
No, I got it for free. Did they send it to you for free? They sent me free boxes, but I don't eat, they don't have a paleo option. So like I'll use it if I get it for free. I just got it the other day and I'll use the meat and just make other things. And like, I'll give somebody else like the random rice or something that it comes with. But otherwise I'll just meal prep. Like I go to Trader Joe's or I use Instacart a lot.
Instacart. Okay. I'm learning because I need to know what to do other than work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean like there's so many things like even like road trips and stuff to like other places. But I also, there's a YouTube girl who I saw a video of hers one time and she said something in the video that was like, I have a really hard time when somebody's like, you should just chill on the couch and not do anything. She's like, I don't like to do that.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with that. Cause I think also when you are an entrepreneur, which just seems like yourself, like to you editing a YouTube video, like might feel like work, but it's also fun.
Yeah. That's a thing. It's like, I generally enjoy it, but then it's still work. And then there's a really blurred line between like your workaholic stop.
Yeah. But then also, like, you don't have to just sit on the couch to, like, take a break. Like, some weekends, like, you might find that, like, eventually that's what you want to do.
Mm.
And then maybe you just want to...
I've been actually thrifting more.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you thrift?
I like to shop, but I don't really shop that often.
Really?
Like, I'll go into, like, if I usually, well, like, every 6 months go to, like, Nordstrom or J. Crew and buy, like, 20 things.
Oh, really?
And then, but I wish I just, I don't make the time to, like... to do that. Like, I'd rather like go to lunch or something.
Mm.
But like, I'd love to like say that like, oh, like I'm going to go thrift shopping today or like go to Crossroads. I love Crossroads. I just never go in there.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, I go in there, but I don't buy anything.
See, it's really cheap though. Like, yeah. I mean, the designer stuff's more expensive,
yeah.
But I think it's like a fun like thing to do.
Yeah. It's so fun. I love, that's my, shopping's my cardio.
Yeah.
Relatable teen.
No, no, I think that it can be like really fun and relaxing, but then also to me, like then it's like sometimes you go into a store and then you can't find anything and then you get frustrated. I'm like, I don't want to spend my Sunday like pissed off because nothing fit me or like I just didn't like anything.
I hope your shopping experience improves.
I don't know. I that's why I only go to two stores. I'll go to Nordstrom or I'll go to J. Crew because nothing else.
What a businesswoman. She we know.
And that's like, then, oh my God, then I don't even know what I wear half the time. But anywho, so I think you're really fantastic. So this app that you're starting, which is kind of going to be like a new online schooling type system, I guess, is there like a timeline for it? Like, where can people find out more about this?
So you can follow us on Instagram at PPJ app, and there's directions under bio. We'll be launching in March next month.
And where can everyone find everything else out about you?
If you'd like to check out more content, my Instagram is Jade Dharma Wangza. If you type in Jade, it should pop up. And same on YouTube. And feel free to DM me. I love DMing.
And how often, I'm curious, because you're only 17, but do you use LinkedIn? Because I know you sent me your LinkedIn.
Honestly, you can add me on LinkedIn.
But LinkedIn, I mean, it's a little old for people. I started realizing that LinkedIn's like genius.
It's good. Do you get connections there?
I have like thousands of connections. I get maybe 100 ads a day, and I'm like, but the thing is, I just recently, like, I'll use LinkedIn because I love seeing like who's looking me up. So I had premium for a while, and I was like, oh, this is so fun. But I was never accepting connections because I was like, I don't think this is a platform. And then I realized
that I'm important and I don't accept connections.
No, but I don't know how you even like today even went through, and then you just add, or it's like who viewed your profile and like all this shit. But I just like accept everyone. But then I realized, like, how do you decide who to accept or like?
That's just, oh yeah, that's true. It's too much work.
I never.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I have like so many, and like then I get people who like the messages or like, well, like my posts, but I'm like, I don't know what I'd use it. Like, I don't know what to use it for.
Well, yeah. Going back to only Instagram, YouTube.
Yeah.
You can add me on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I guess maybe LinkedIn's like a little older, but I guess it's good if you want like a real job.
It's good for B2B.
If somebody wants to like work for you. I don't know if you're hiring, interns and stuff.
Yeah,
you do different meetups and whatnot too.
We're working on more meetups on the East Coast. I've been to New York once, so it's going to be interesting how that goes.
Boston, New York are like my two favorite cities. But how do you decide, I guess, about these meetups? Because I know I saw one time you were in Thailand or Bali.
Bali was – okay, honestly, what I do is I go on my Google geography data. Like, it just tells me where people are. And I'm like, hey, on my Instagram story, you want to meet up? It's getting a safety hazard, though. People told me I need security. So the next time I do it, I'm not going to announce on Instagram stories because there has been really creepy scenarios that I shouldn't get into. But yeah, I feel like right now I just look at where people are and I say, hey, let's meet up. It's so casual. But I need to get better on security.
I don't know. What do you like do when you – I've never gone to any of these meetups, but I know that a bunch of YouTubers and stuff will host them. So what happens at
these? It's a Q&A. It's like, let's do – I do a series called Ask Jay Show. So we do that.
Yeah. Which I guess is also really good because that's like how you know if somebody's really relatable is if they're willing to like spend your time and energy. You're obviously not getting paid.
It's so fun. No, I love meetups with people. I think it's the fact that literally you can collaborate with other people there.
Yeah.
I found photographers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great.
Well, Jade, I think you're fantastic.
Thank you
guys should all check her out on social media. She's one of those like 1% who is really cool and like authentic. So aspire to be like you. I think you're really like kick-ass, and it's really rare nowadays to find somebody who's just so incredibly passionate about it. Like, you would do this probably for no money.
Yeah,
so
thanks so much for having me, Alexa. I'm so pumped.
I'm so excited for people to hear this. Make sure you guys tune in to the schedule that I just released for the summit. So you can check that full day schedule out on fearlesssummit.org, as well as my personal social media, which is at Alexa_Curtis. And also check out the podcast Instagram, which is at This Is Life Podcast. And I'll see you guys next week for episode 63. Bye.
Peace.